sorry. I'm hearing you fading back. Okay, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. We're trying to get up a guest here, Lester Grinspoon, and so hopefully we might get that sorted out in the background. I can't really do it because, you know, I'm talking. But there's other news to be going on about today. In New Zealand, we have the Secret Surveillance Bill passed, so that now all of the people in this country can be surveilled without a warrant legally. Isn't that nice? And of course, this is being touted as a great success by both parts of the Houses of Parliament. Because the original thoughts on the Secret Surveillance Bill and what have you was that, oh, we wouldn't apply it retroactively, so all the illegal criminal activity our police have currently been engaged in can be made legal. Instead, what we'll do is we'll do the right thing and just do it in future so that every time the criminal police want to do something criminal and illegal, it's no longer criminal and illegal. Aren't we just the nicest bunch of cats on the face of the effing earth? Oh my God. Oh my God. How stupid do you have to be to not notice that the left and the right are exactly the same effing team? How many times does it need to be said? Now you have independent candidates out there, at best, know what's going on and are prepared to actually get into Parliament to change it. It's a matter what country you're in. There's always independent people out there who are actually working. And of course, you've got the mainstream media who act as the intermediary to make sure that those people never get any effing airtime. And on the other hand, if you are a scumbag banker, or funded by scumbag bankers, boy, oh boy, will you experience a thrilling, soaring journey straight to the top. So freaking easy that it's not even funny. They'll even set up the last three governments, or maybe even two governments, or maybe even just the one, making sure that they're doing as draconian and horrific a problems as possible so that they'll accept you as being the one who will save them. When the reality is, you're actually, again, just setting them up for an even worse government that they'll be prepared to accept later on, who will also promise them that they're going to save you and change everything for the better. How is it possible that people aren't disillusioned anymore? Okay, I understand that virtually nobody votes in the United States. I don't know how many people choose to not vote here in New Zealand. I think in the mayoral elections, when we were talking about the $160-odd billion worth of public assets that was amassed up by the council in this latest big effing swap, there was bugger all people that voted, maybe 25-30%. People don't trust what's going on. And they think that by not voting, they're saying something. I've actually had people say this to me. If I don't vote, it's saying to the government that I don't care about them. No, what you're doing is you're actually giving them your silent, obedient consent to govern you. That is what you are doing. Nothing more. Don't be mixed up. There is a big difference between saying no and saying no thing at all. If they don't hear you resisting them, how are they even going to bother listening to you at all? You know, you think politicians are psychic? You get in relationships with your significant others like this, and they expect you to know things, and you don't, because I'm not psychic, darling. And yet, for some reason, you expect that people are psychic and they can tell the politicians what to do without opening their mouths. And it's simply not the case. Well, it's not the case for the average person anyway. I'm fairly certain there must be some description of secret government Uber spymaster spooky program going on down there with remote viewing, whispering in their ears from afar. Who knows? Point is that we don't have a media actually covering the real issues. One thing that I would really love to see is an alternative media base that is so eclectic, so large and so strong in its scope that it actually is more listened to, more widely viewed than the mainstream media. That would be preferable to the vast majority of people plugging into the government or corporate, as the case may be, style of media propaganda. I remember I was at a protest. Okay, when we stopped in the middle of the street for close to an hour and a half and did speeches and whatnot. Blocked up the traffic. The media was there with their giant cameras, including the cops with their giant cameras that they were just sitting on top of trash cans and stuff like that, pretending they were doing nothing. And guess what they called it? A flash mob. That's right. Oh, a few hundred protesters walked all the way up the main street of the city today. But, editorial privilege, we'll have to cut that. Okay, and they then gathered together in the middle of one of the squares and completely blocked off traffic in all directions. Okay, we'll leave that in there and don't call them protesters, just call them a flash mob. Okay, there we go. And this is how the editorial works. It's inextricable. Everything that matters, everything that is informative, everything that isn't incendiary against the average Joe will be cut. Think about this. They said that we were singing songs that New Zealand should lose the Rugby World Cup because it'd be better for New Zealand because then the ruling government party, the National Party, would wind up getting voted out as a result. I was there. The whole time, I never heard anything like that. At all. They just made it up. Okay? They look for the stupidest, ugliest looking people that they can find, and they go and they ask them questions about, why are you here on a protest? Yeah, that's a fair representation. Don't get the person who's leading the protest. Don't get any of the people who are laying on the microphone for 10, 15 minutes and telling everybody what's what, because they might actually give you answers. And the mainstream media don't want answers. They want the ability to demonize. Purely and simply, and that's all. If you cannot go to a protest and use what little is there to demonize the protesters with, then you're not doing your job properly. Okay? And same goes for police. If you're at a protest and you can't demonize and or arrest en masse protesters, then you're not doing your job correctly. Because the people who are telling you what to do in your little jobby are following orders just like you, passed down from on top, and basically you're doing things that you disagree with because it is your job and you'll be on the street and your family will and you'll go hungry if you don't follow draconian orders and suppress everybody, pepper spray them, arrest them en masse for no effing reason, kettle them into corners and lock them all up. You know, our paddy wagons are now incidentally made in Germany. The Volkswagen. I can just imagine just how reminiscent it must feel for somebody to get locked up in handcuffs and transported to a prison in the back of a German-made vehicle. That sounds very interesting, you know. How fabulous. No. Fascism. Did you think it would be that obvious? Remember that picture that you see online? If you Google that. Fascism, do you think it would be this obvious? And what they've got is a whole bunch of stormtroopers, okay? You know, the white uniformed helmeted stormtroopers from Star Wars marching down the street together, and it says fascism. Do you think it would be this obvious? I was at this protest. There couldn't have been more than 60 protesters left, you know, kind of rounding down like at the very end, been there for hours. And there were 45 police, including one policeman with a camera who didn't have his tags showing, so he couldn't tell his ID. What the heck? That's disproportionate, don't you think? I think, what was it? Police here are paid, what, $35 an hour? Or something like that? It costs that much money an hour just to have them do nothing. And we had 45 of them standing there for nothing, doing nothing. 45 multiplied times, you know, goodness knows the math of it. This is what police resources are not supposed to be used for. If anything, I'm surprised that there's lots of police at any protest. There's really no need. There never has been. Not in this country, anyway. Occasionally, we've had the Springbok riots and all that kind of stuff, but it was always the police starting causing crap. In fact, the protesters were called off the road here last weekend because we had already only been given a permit to protest for 1 hour. We're only allowed 1 hour to use our democratic right to protest. Isn't that just fabulous? When you can put people down on paper and tell them precisely what they can and can't do, where they can and can't be, that is authoritarianism. That ain't freedom of any kind. The people come out here and they try to express their efforts to want a freer society. The United States used to have one, apparently, but now it's since been taken, as is evidence of the Wall Street protests. 700 people. Herded, kettled, busted. With nets. They're using nets on them. Like it's some kind of parody of a gladiator spectacle in the Colosseum. You know? It's unbelievable. And the people who are doing the huge assaults, smashing cameramen's heads into Volvos, spraying protesters who are behind the orange screen, just sitting down peacefully, in the face with mace, and then calmly walking away. Those aren't the frontline troopers doing it at all. It is, in fact, the hardliners, the very high-up police officers using the white uniforms, that kind of thing. And the protest we did in New Zealand was in solidarity with the Wall Street protesters. And we didn't get quite as draconian or nasty a response. However, the spectacular number of police that turned up and threatened the protesters with mass arrests if they tried to occupy the street again. I have no doubt that if everybody at that protest said, you know what, bugger it, let's do mass arrests. But they didn't, because nobody wants to be arrested. Nobody. So all the police have to do in order to make you want to not do something is threaten you with arrest. That's all they have to do. Threaten you with arrest, boom, nobody does it all of a sudden. Especially if the cops are right there watching you and you know for a fact that there's zero possibility you'll be able to get away if they decide that they're going to arrest you. To accomplish what? You know, draw more media attention. Because if the people in New Zealand here had said, you know what, bugger it, we are all going to get arrested. Sure enough, there would have been 40 plus, 50, 60, 70 people arrested. Everybody at the protest, to be sure. They had enough cops to arrest everybody, provided they didn't try to run and scatter in several directions and everybody struggled so that nobody would be able to handle one protester entirely on their own. You know, basically, that's what it takes in order to get some media attention. Ooh, and then instead of it being a good thing, like the police are acting like a bunch of fascists and now we need to review what's happening in this country really and who's really in control and what globalist bankster masters have given donations to the police force as JP Morgan Chase gave to the New York Police Department. Didn't they give them like $5 million or something like that? And they say, oh, we're going to get all these computers, and then the next day, 700 protesters get arrested on Brooklyn Bridge, just like that. A little bit suspicious to me. We'll see you after the break at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com.
There's only one thing I need. Don't who said he won't, who said he won't. Well, there's only one thing I need.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by TheVinnyEastwoodShow.com.
Feeling stressed, tired, lacking energy, or lacking libido? Now you can take control of your healthcare goals in the privacy of your own home with the use of reliable, high-quality health products from Ideal Health in New Zealand. Conveniently delivered to your door anywhere in the world. You'll find our friendly health team offer well-researched health information plus the highest quality health products. We want to ensure you not only get the best value products available, but also ensure you get the fastest therapeutic results. With over 2,600 pages of health information and natural products, all compiled by our friendly naturopathic team. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand. Leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by TheVinnyEastwoodShow.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, enzymes and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Welcome to the world's meeting place. American.
It's practically narcotic.
Freedom.
Oh, yes. I like very much.
Radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Your life as it has been is over.
Radio Free Humanity on AFR. Listen to The Paradigm Shift. Saturday nights, 10 p.m. Central.
Ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GuerrillaMedia.co.nz, New Zealand's unconventional media. We have a very spectacular guest today, in fact. His name is Lester Grinspoon. Now, if you've heard of that name before, it's because he's actually been getting a lot of work done. As you do, you can't make a name for yourself unless you're either paid off by bankers or have done a ridiculous amount of work. And I can assure you, he's the former, not the latter. He's got two websites, rxmarijuana.com, that's medical marijuana, basically, all the info you need to know about that. And of course, marijuana has a lot of uses, a lot of self-improvement attributes to it. And if you want to know what those are, go to marijuana-uses.com. That's a hyphen, in fact, not a dash. Marijuana-uses.com. So I'd like to welcome the fabulous, the illustrious, and the greenness of Lester Grinspoon to the Vinnie Eastwood Show today. Lester, welcome.
Thank you.
Give us a little bit of a background about yourself. What got you into the whole marijuana field of study?
Well, it was quite by accident. I'm emeritus now, but I was teaching at the Harvard Medical School, and I was doing most of my work was with schizophrenia. I was just writing a book on that when the two other authors. I was a senior author and two junior authors. One of them was going to be 2 months late. And so I had 2 months where I didn't I had some unscheduled time. And I'd been concerned about this, looking out my window in the 60s, about these foolish young people using this terribly dangerous drug, marijuana. And my best friend, Carl Sagan, used it too, and I would warn him, this has terrible health consequences, Carl. He would just wave at me and offer me a puff. But I took these 2 months to go into the Conway, the Harvard Medical School Library, because I was determined to review the scientific and medical basis for this awful prohibition we have. And what happened was that I discovered that I had been brainwashed, that in fact marijuana was a remarkably non-toxic drug, that the greatest harm from marijuana did not reside in any inherent psychoactive effects of the drug or other effects of the drug, but rather in the way we as a society were dealing with it. In the United States in 1967, when I began this work, we were arresting about 300,000 people, most of them young, 90% for mere possession per year. I can say parenthetically that it's up to about 850,000 now. It's as though nothing much has changed. But that's how I first got into it. And then when that paper came out, it was published in Scientific American in the last issue in 1969. It attracted a lot of attention, and a number of publishers came to me and asked me if I would expand it into a book. It was already expanded into an 80-page paper for the International Journal of Psychiatry. And I at first resisted this idea, but then Harvard University Press, the associate director, came over and said, look, you've already written 80 pages. You just multiply that by four, and we'll make it look like a book. And so I thought, well, you know, this... It was a subject that I had become fascinated in, with, because I couldn't believe that I had been led so far astray on it, partly. And two, it was the one part of my work that I was doing at that time that my oldest son, Danny, was interested in. And so I decided to go ahead with the Harvard University Press. And that's how Marijuana Reconsidered, my first book, came out in 1971.
Do you feel that it's the educated that are often the hardest to educate, if you know what I mean?
Well, I think anybody these days who will take the time. You have to go looking for the material to read. It isn't published in the New York Times or in other newspapers, and you have to look for it. But the data is there. Anybody who believes that this is a dangerous drug, anybody who believes that this drug doesn't have remarkable medical capacities is just not paying attention. And the institution that seems to be paying least attention to it, as far as I can tell, is the United States government.
Well, they seem to be adept at doing this sort of thing. And what I find is it's very, very few people will actually do precisely what you said, choose to go looking for through the literature for the evidence. And it reminds me of a lady who I was telling about 9/11, you know. It's just like, what reason would there possibly have an inside job? And I was just saying, well, it's simple, you know, money control power. That's what powerful people really crave, and that's what they got more of as a direct result of 9/11. But, you know, if you want the proof, you actually have to go and look for it. And she said, I'm sorry, no.
Well, you know, I have to say, I think something else is happening now, but let me introduce that notion by, you know, I remember I put on record, one of them I didn't save, the first letter in the days when we communicated by letter rather than email. The first letter I got when I published Marijuana Reconsidered, I remember the whole single sentence: "You dirty Harvard Jew, you did it for the money." And the first letter I got with the or email after I published Marijuana, the Forbidden Medicine, the first edition in 1993, and that's the one I can't find. But the gist of it was that that I was someone who had decided that the best way to achieve my goal of legalization is to make this sound like it was a good medicine. I was using medicine, as he said, as a Trojan horse to win legalization. Now, you know, I say
there's more like using it a Trojan condom against the damage that it causes.
Well, you know, at that time I laughed at it, but, you know, as I look back now, what's happening in this country, you know, 16 states have now adopted medical marijuana legislation or laws. Plus the District of Columbia and about 10 others are now seriously working on it. They're going to have it. It's grown like Topsy. And I think what's happening, because the numbers of people who are now open to the idea of legalizing marijuana in this country has grown exponentially over the last few years. And I think what's happened is a better kind of teaching, really, for the people who won't read or what have you. They see a relative or a friend use cannabis as a medicine. They see how useful it is. And where's the toxicity? I mean, they can't believe it's so benign. And they begin to say, hey, what's all the fuss about? This is silly. What are we doing here? Arresting almost 900,000 young, mostly young people every year, putting people in prison and doing all sorts of horrible things. They're beginning to get the idea.
It's a brilliant idea, though, if you want to create an entire generation of people that hate the cops that will give you endless justification to institute a police state on everybody.
Well, you know, one has to wonder why the United States government, and I guess most Western governments that I know, well, not in parts of Europe, but insist that this is a dangerous drug. And insist, in spite of the evidence all around, that it's a useful medicine. No, the government says, marijuana is not a medicine. It's like it's a catechism, and it isn't altered by any kind of data. And you wonder, why is the government doing this? What's it getting out of it? It's spending countless billions of dollars on this. We've arrested 21 million people since I started to write on this in 1967 in this country. Why is this government pursuing such an insane law? It's encouraging disrespect for the law. There are people who use marijuana with a kind of principled disrespect for the law.
Do you feel that in turn creates a disrespect for the law, and then the law itself, the people who apply it, gain a complete and utter disrespect for the people that they're enforcing it on?
I think there has to be some contagion. I mean, people have to wonder also about the validity. Does the government know what it's doing? Does it really understand this problem? Here it's had the National Institute of Drug Abuse, which goes back, I think, to the 70s or about that time. And it's devoted many, many millions of dollars to research, mostly on marijuana, but always clearly the researchers who came up with negative results about marijuana were always, their funding was continued. Mine was discontinued after I published the book, Psychedelic Drugs Reconsidered. But now, of course, NIDA, National Institute of Drug Abuse, is turning its attention to to supporting bench researchers who will come up with ways of modifying marijuana so it can be put in pills, and pharmaceutical companies can then deliver it, and they can say to people like me, look, like they did in 1985 when Marinol or Dronabinol first came out. The government supported that research. 70% of it was paid by the U.S. government. It's something it never does with research houses, except for orphan drugs, rather. But the idea there was to say, look, we've now got Dronabinol, which was synthetic tetrahydrocannabinol, the exact same 21-carbon molecule that you find in the plant, but it was put, the plant is put in, that THC is put in Schedule 1. You can't use it under any circumstance.
Oh, well, that's because carbon is a poison.
Well, it's both a poison and it's essential to life. So,
if you're talking about people talking about the post-carbon era, you're a carbon-based life form. You're not going to have one.
Well, we've got to come to terms with carbon or we're not going to have a life form here. But that's another matter.
But continue.
Pardon?
But continue, because I feel that the chemistry is very, very interesting. I was told one time that when the cannabinoid molecule comes into your system, your cells already, before you're even born, have cannabinoid receptors in them. And when they call out for these molecules to come in and bond with the cell, they then send a signal to the molecule of what it's actually craving, and then the cannabinoid molecule molds itself into being what the cell is actually craving there. It's like a multi-purpose element sort of thing. Is that true?
Well, that goes back to 1980 when it was first discovered that human beings have in their brains, and it isn't just limited to the brain's nervous system everywhere, excuse me, what I call CB1 receptors. That is, a receptor is like a keyhole, and the neurotransmitter that goes around in your brain, when it fits into that keyhole, it turns the lock, and whatever that nerve cell does goes on. So we have two kinds of cannabis so far, two kinds of cannabis receptors, CB1s and CB2s. And it was predicted, well, if we've got these receptors in our nervous system, there must be neurotransmitters, you know, like dopamine or one of the many different neurotransmitters. And sure enough, a few years later, the first one, which was named anandamide, and then the second one a little later was discovered. There are two known neurotransmitters. So now we know there's a whole endocannabinoid system, a whole system that operates in the brain, along with the dopamine system, the serotonin system, and so forth. These other neurotransmitters,
they underline absolutely everything that makes your body your body. My very special guest is Lester Grinspoon, and we'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Following a radiological or nuclear event, radioactive iodine may be released into the air and then be breathed into the lungs. Radioactive iodine may also contaminate the local food supply and get into the body through food or through drink. When radioactive materials get into the body through breathing, eating or drinking, the thyroid gland quickly absorbs the chemical. Radioactive iodine absorbed by the thyroid can then injure the gland. But you can protect yourself with use potassium iodide, which acts to block radioactive iodine from being taken into the thyroid gland and can help protect this gland from injury. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Online, all the time, your gateway to the world.
AFR.
American Freedom Radio.
Give it to them.
Listen to the Ron Paul Revolution Radio Show with Rossi and Brocky. Join the revolution on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, 3 to 5 p.m. Central, and only on American Freedom Radio.
Look at me, driving, and I won't stop. And it feels so good to be alive and on top. My reach is global, my tower secure. My cause is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out a million vaccinations, I'll let them all die in exasperation. Have them all healed from the lacerations, have them all killed by assassination. I can make anybody go to prison just because I don't like them. And I can do anything with
welcome
no permission.
Back, ladies and gentlemen,
guide a missile by satellite
to the fabulous Prison Unity City, known as the Vinnie Eastwood Show. AmericanFreedomRadio.com. We love slavery and unjust laws because, hey, society would crumble if we didn't have them. You know, don't you just, you need tyranny to hold everything together. It never causes any destruction or death or suffering among the population, doesn't it? No. It's always been promised as a paradise, and that's precisely what it becomes, except you're not part of that paradise. You're part of the gutter sewer works that run underneath Paradise City, where the grass ain't green and the girls ain't pretty. My very special guest is Lester Grinspoon. Welcome back from break, Lester.
Good. Could I finish the thought I had started to make?
No.
you'll put me in prison if I try, huh?
I will try out my extra fluffy fisticuffs on you that I got from the TSA.
Well, I was saying that, you know, penicillin was discovered to be very safe, very useful. That is, it had a great variety of uses. And once it was produced on the economy of scale, it was very inexpensive. Now, look at marijuana. It's very safe. When it regains its rightful place in the pharmacopoeia, it will be seen as one of the top 10 drugs with respect to limited toxicity, if it is not clearly the least toxic. There has never been a death from marijuana anywhere in the world. Secondly, like penicillin, it was quite safe. Two, once it is free of the prohibition tariff, which is what I call the most of the cost of marijuana is because it's prohibited, it will be remarkably inexpensive. It will be much less expensive than the many pharmaceutical products it will displace because it's just better and safer. And third, it is, like penicillin, remarkably versatile. It can treat everything from your migraine headache to your Crohn's disease to all sorts of pain. It's so useful. We are still getting data on the kinds of things it is useful for. In the first edition of my book, Marijuana, the Forbidden Medicine, in 93, I maybe had a dozen symptoms and syndromes to illustrate its usefulness. By the time I did a second edition, it was twice as long in 1997. And now it's quite long, that list. So, you know,
it's getting to the point where it's like, have you ever seen the Chris Rock sketch where he talks about the black community, how they use Robitussin for everything, you know? Oh, did you skin your knee? Pour Robitussin on it. Oh, did you break your leg? Robitussin. If it doesn't, you know, no fussing when there's some tussin. And that's basically what marijuana is as far as I'm concerned now. It's like if you've got any condition, doesn't matter what it is. You've got the sneeze, smoke some weed. If you've got cancer, smoke some weed.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. Mental problems.
Smoke some weed. Use them as a medical practice. Smoking probably not the most medicinal way of doing it because you get all the damage to your lungs through the burning plant material and whatnot. There would be more likely a better idea would be to use either a vaporizer. An even better idea would be used to some description of extract, like a resin, for example, that you can extract out of the plant naturally. Those would probably be the two safest methods that would ensure a higher concentration of the cannabinoid molecules, which actually do the business.
Well, let me comment on two things you said. First of all, I agree with everything you said about treating, except it does not cure cancer. There is no evidence that it does at this point. It is very useful for the pain of cancer, for the side effects, the nausea and vomiting of cancer chemotherapy, for helping people get sleep, helping them to deal with their anxiety, helping them to deal with their depression and so forth, but it does not cure it. Secondly, when you say the vaporizer is healthier than smoking, I use a vaporizer myself most of the time. But not because I know it's not healthier. That is, nobody can make a claim, as the government used to, that it causes lung cancer or emphysema. It does not. The data now is overwhelming. So if you want to smoke it, you're not going to hurt your lungs. It's not. One of the reasons I use it is because it doesn't smell up the house the way smoking a joint does. I don't think it makes a lot of difference in terms of health whether you use a vaporizer. You know, we live in a non-smoking culture, so for many people, the idea of using something like the Volcano, which is what I use, is very attractive. But it mustn't be confused with its being healthier. You know, we as human creatures have grown up through hundreds of thousands of years around campfires where the products of burning plants are constantly inhaled. We didn't have a big problem with lung cancer till tobacco cigarettes came along. And
And that's actually from the proper tobacco cigarette manufacturers rather than just everybody used to smoke tobacco out of pipes and they didn't really have any additives or any saltpeter or upwards of 700 chemicals in them. And then as soon as they start producing cigarettes en masse, people start having these kind of health defects coming out of it. And then they go, oh, that's not good. Let's put a filter on them.
Well, that doesn't do a darn thing because actually there's some evidence, pretty good evidence in my view, that the answer is to be found in the fertilizer that's used by the tobacco farmers. To make it a long story short, when you breathe a cigarette, there's a very tiny amount of a radionucleotide. I believe it's polonium. And so you get these little particles in their lungs, and they give off gamma radiation. Not tiny, tiny amounts, but over the course of the year, you're going to get a lot of radiation. And I have a hunch that that's where the problem is going to be found. But in any event, the problems with cigarettes, which kill so many people and cause so much morbidity, it is absolutely, there is a smoking culture, and I think people, smart people, have to stay away from tobacco, but what one can say about the dangers of smoking tobacco do not apply to marijuana.
Not in the least. They're not the same substance at all, are they? And what we talk about here about the tobacco and the fertilizers that they all use, they'd probably be using similar, if not worse, fertilizers in all your food. They'd probably be genetically modifying your food anyway, so it produces its own pesticide that'll kill all the bugs, and then they feed it to you.
Yes, we are living in a society which can provide more food per acre, but there's a price.
In fact, it's turning the Midwest into a freaking dust bowl now, isn't it? Because there's something like 60, 70 chemicals or minerals and natural vitamins and what have you that the soil needs in order to be healthy, and in order to fertilize it, they only give them two or three, and they keep doing that over and over again. So the food itself has no freaking nutrition, because the soil has no freaking nutrition, and it doesn't matter. You know, like what about with growing cannabis? I'm pretty sure that the exact same rules must apply. If you have really dirty, crappy soil, you're going to have incredibly deficient buds by comparison.
Well, there's no question about it. We human creatures are not being good stewards of this planet, and future generations are going to really have some uncomfortable thoughts about how we, this generation, these generations around us right now, are going to be significantly responsible for the kind of planet with global warming and everything that we leave our grandchildren. And that keeps me up at night, to tell you the truth.
You know, what really keeps me up at night is the fact that people think that there's a difference between the left paradigm and the right paradigm. You know, two guys get up there, one of them's got a blue tie on, and the other guy's got a red tie on. And it's the same in whatever country you want to go to, really. Mm. And people think there's a difference.
Yeah, and, as someone said in an email to me today, there is no Democratic Party or Republican Party here. It's all one party, and it's bad.
Well, you know, it's not true that there's only one party. I mean, they're kind of like a transformer, you know, like either one's separate, you know, they completely function on their own, but when they come together, they become an even bigger, badder one. Like, for example, we have the big business and the war party. And yeah. and of course, there's a lot of bipartisanship.
Well, that's what makes our politics go, I guess. But
I know that's what makes democracy great. Oh, yeah. You know, because you can work together with people that are completely evil and have absolutely no concern about the goodness of the human condition. Congress can still function with absolute impunity with a 15% approval rating. Obama can get re-elected with a 4% approval rating. Because for some reason, DynCorp, the biggest voting machine manufacturer in the world, doesn't see a problem with electronically counting the votes that you could just make up anyway and knocking all the black people off the list that were able to vote in the first place who traditionally vote Democrat or whatever.
Yes, it's quite worrisome.
Yep, it's quite a worrisome world. But, you know, we'll talk about more of this after the break, Lester. Ladies and gentlemen, you can visit his website at rxmarijuana.com and marijuana-uses.com. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Back in a moment.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners, which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution Pride flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
What is it that's in your home that causes grown men to cower and children to run for cover?
Fun!
Food storage!
That's right. Food storage shouldn't be scary. At Simply Your Food, we are the premier providers of long-term, storable, GMO, and MSG-free meats, veggies, fruit, dairy, and pantry essentials like powdered butter. We even have a gluten-free line. Food storage shouldn't be scary. Let Simply Your Food help you with your food storage needs. Go to simplyyourfood.com or call 866-251-7511 and let us take the scary out of food storage. Go to simplyyourfood.com or call 866-251-7511 and let us take the scary out of food storage.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
No rules. No rules. No taboo topics. No taboo topics. No fear of doom. No fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. I said, welcome back.
Unity.
Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and freaking madness, if you lose your sense of humor, you'll go nuts too. So, you know, I'm trying to fill in for the nuts part of the equation. And we bring on guests to bring in the sanity and the facts of the matter and poignant opinion that you can base some of your research on. And this is the important point of all. You never have to believe anybody about anything. If you're curious, there's nothing to stop you from asking them questions to clarify, and there's nothing to stop you from researching into it deeper to either confirm the validity of what they're saying or completely discount it and disprove it. And the key is to have a look for yourself and to actually want to look for yourself, because knowledge is power, and power is much more powerful when it is shared, I believe. Welcome back to my special guest, Lester Grinspoon. Now, I suppose that when we talk about cannabis prohibition, the obvious thing comes up, you know, it's pretty straightforward. The whole thing's a lie. How did the lie start? And how do you want it to finish is the real question.
Well, the lie started in the early 1930s when the Federal Bureau of Narcotics, the predecessor organization to the current Drug Enforcement Administration, the Federal Bureau of Narcotics was organized, and its first director was a man by the name of Harry Anslinger. And Harry Anslinger, I believe the reason he went on his anti-marijuana crusade, because nobody was particularly interested in marijuana until he got into it. He, I think, like Edgar Hoover at the Federal Bureau of Investigation, fanned the Red Scare, the Communist Scare, and was able to get a lot of money for his bureau. Anslinger almost single-handedly created the marijuana scare. I mean, that bureau was behind the creation of one of the signature films of this whole thing, Reefer Madness, which you may have seen, and many of your listeners
have. Oh, yeah, because obviously everybody just kind of goes completely insane after smoking a single marijuana cigarette, has no control over motor function, drinks out of broken bottles,
and is rapacious.
and kills other people for absolutely no reason. Yeah, you know,
sexually out of control. That's an important part of the message.
Oh, you know, I almost forgot. Thank you for reminding me.
And, you know, and then you got various groups like presently the Partnership for Drug-Free America. There's another one, Drug-Free America. They, in fact, tried to get the Massachusetts division, which is responsible for issuing licenses to physicians, to get them to revoke my medical license, because they, in this big pile of data that came in, was the first talk when I openly talked about my own use, and that was some years ago. And they indicated six different reasons why my license should be rescinded. The first one I remember quite well, because a physician who uses marijuana is incompetent. And so it went, six of them. I don't remember the others, but...
Well, did they include every single doctor that used marijuana as a medicine before prohibition? How it was like pretty much the medicine that was in bottles for pretty much everything?
No. It was...
Oh, they didn't include those people. Oh, okay. Yeah. just out of curiosity, considering we've got a drug-free America now, how many people are on prescription meds in the U.S. currently, you know, give or take?
How many people are on prescriptions? Oh, I don't, millions and hundreds of millions. I have no idea.
Okay, so all right, it's a drug-free America then.
And of course, the really ironical part is marijuana is probably safer than any of those medicines offered by the pharmaceutical companies and prescribed by doctors. For example, most people think that aspirin is a perfectly harmless substance. You can buy it over the counter. You don't, a doctor doesn't have to write a prescription. You decide when you're going to take one and so forth. Now, the fact is, aspirin causes somewhere between 1,000 and 2,000 deaths in this country alone every year. Marijuana, as I said earlier, has never caused a death. And yet, here we have this extraordinary war on marijuana, presumably because it is so dangerous.
Jack Hera put it, you know, there have been people that die because of pot because they got shot in the back running away from the police.
that's absolutely true. So it's no small wonder the pharmaceutical companies feel so threatened by the rise of interest in marijuana as a medicine. It's not the first time it's been used as a medicine. It was first used in mid-19th century after a English physician by the name of O'Shaughnessy, who was practicing in Calcutta, satisfied himself that the indigenous peoples used cannabis as a medicine quite successfully, and after doing what we would call some crude research on animals, gave it to a number of people with different kinds of convulsive disorders, and published this paper, I think it was in 1849, and it was an amazing the reception from 1850 to 1900. I was able to count about 100 medical papers, you know, published in medical journals about cannabis indica, the medicine. Now, it was prescribed not as a smoke, but nobody appeared to know much about smoking it at that time, at least not in Western society.
It was mostly used in cooking. In fact, like all the old cookbooks, like pre-prohibition cookbooks, you would find like close to 100 recipes that involved cannabis being added just as a herb to flavor the meal, you know, and to make it a little bit more medicinal. After prohibition, they in fact issued a decree, didn't they, that all of the cannabis that was used in cooking and all the recipes that the Western world were using, they suddenly had to do all these reprints to get them all out.
Yes, but at that time it was, because it isn't soluble in water, it was put in an alcoholic solution. And, you know, there were no bioassays, so doctors, when they prescribed, let's say, 3 minims of 3 drops of marijuana, of cannabis indica 4 times a day, they had no idea what the dose was. But, you know, they didn't worry about it because they knew that people could, if they got a lot, they could get very anxious for a while, but that was dose-related. The real problem was that the patient might not get enough. That was the real problem, and his pain might not be relieved, or his loss of appetite, or whatever they were using it for. But they didn't worry too much about its being about overdosage because they soon came to know they'd never seen anybody get into real trouble with it.
Yeah, now, it's kind of like a vitamin C. Intravenous high-dose vitamin C has 75-year history, no known toxic dose. There was something like a test group of about 20 patients over a decade's worth of time or so, they injected close to 200 pounds of vitamin C directly into their veins with, quote, no noticeable side effects.
Yes, I'm not aware of that. But the fact is, we live in a day and age when we can smoke it or use a vaporizer. Now, this is so much superior to oral administration for the reason that for the first time, a patient can titrate the dose. Because the effect comes on so rapidly when you smoke it or inhale it, you can you know, what I tell patients to do, look, you know, especially older patients who are marijuana virgins, you know, I don't want them to get too much or they get anxious. So I say, look, you light the joint that your granddaughter has rolled for you and take one puff and then just put it down for, let's say, 2 minutes or so. It'll go out. That's okay. Then light it again, take another puff, and stop when either your nausea is relieved or you get anxious, whichever comes first. I'm confident that the relief of nausea will come first. But the point is, you can titrate it because it's so fast. Whereas if you take it orally, first of all, you don't know how much of a dose to give. You're just guessing.
Yep.
Most people absorb about 12%, but it varies quite widely even within people, depending on the state of the GI tract and so forth and so on. And if you've underdosed, you know, too bad, your patient didn't get released. If you overdosed, he may get somewhat uncomfortable. With smoking, you can hit it right on the dot and stop.
Yeah. Hey, well, that's the point in a circle where a joint just kind of continuously keeps going round. Some people just go, no, I've had enough, because that's exactly their dosage that they're comfortable with taking at that particular moment, right?
Exactly. Exactly. It's also true recreationally. People will say, oh, that's enough for me, and wave it off.
And that's responsible drug use, isn't it?
Exactly. That's exactly right.
You know, and at what point can you, like, pass around a bottle of, Prozac or something and have somebody go, oh, no, I've had enough?
Well, I don't know of anybody who passes around bottles of Prozac.
Well, maybe at Marilyn Manson's house they would, but they would more likely be Vicodin. Now, I think that when we talk about drugs, right, people don't draw a distinction between harmful drugs and unharmful drugs. This is what I was talking about, the vitamin C before. Here's the two questions. Here's the three toxic substances. Can you kill yourself with vitamin C? No, you can't. In fact, it has no known toxic dose. Can you kill yourself with marijuana? No, you can't. Basically, it's impossible. It's impossible. You can't. You can't use enough of it in order to kill yourself. Now, here's the third question. Can you kill yourself with too much water? Yes, you can. You can drink yourself to death. Ah.
Yes,
so it poses the question then, is water more toxic than marijuana?
Well, you know, there is in medicine a ratio called the therapeutic ratio, which is the ratio of the amount of a drug that it would take to kill 30% of subjects who took that dose over the amount of that drug one desires, whether it's for pain or for pleasure or whatever it is. Now, if you take alcohol, the therapeutic ratio is 4 to 10. That is just 4 to 10 times as much as people use to get intoxicated. If you took it right away all at once, you run a 50% chance of losing your life. Or with barbiturates, which used to be the favorite hypnotics, it was 3 to 10. So that, in other words, you could, with as little as of 10 barbiturate pills, you'd have a 50% chance of dying from it. With marijuana, the therapeutic ratio has never been determined because nobody has died from it. So you have to use animal data and extrapolate. So if you extrapolate from animal data, if it holds true in humans, which it doesn't always be absolutely true, it would be something like 20,000 to 30,000. There is no other drug. There's no drug in the pharmacopoeia which has a therapeutic index like that. So this is the safest of drugs, regardless of what the government says.
And because of your activism in this regard, there is actually now a strain named after you called Dr. Grinspoon. Have you seen this?
Yes, I know about it, but I've never had the opportunity to try it because nobody's brought it back from the Netherlands.
All right, so we've got some listeners out there. If you're currently growing some Dr. Grinspoon in your closet, yeah.
Send a little this way.
Yeah, please contact us at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. We'll set it up, you know. I don't know. We'll USPS it to a year.
It's said to be a very cerebral high. Very potent from reports and very cerebral. It's not a body high, it's a cerebral high.
Of course it is.
Yeah. Well, some of them are more body highs and so. I mean, the sativas tend to be more cerebral, and the indica's more body. But that's a rough characterization.
Yeah, and the fact of the matter is, every strain is different. And what I found out something else that was interesting is a lot of cannabis users will be smoking the same strain to the point where they actually have to smoke a lot of it in order to get high anymore. And what's very interesting about cannabis, you can actually then just switch strains, okay? And there are virtually
no
amounts of them. And that's what's so strange about it, is that you only get used to the strain that you're smoking. You don't get used to weed in general. It's just the strain that you're using at that particular time. That's what's
so
strange.
I had a good alcohol, for example.
But, you know, if you're drinking like 10 beers a day or something and then you switch to liquor, you could drink the same amount of alcohol in order to get the same kind of amount of euphoria out of it. But it's not true with cannabis.
I had an experience with that. One day, Robert Randall, you've probably not heard of him, but he was one of
Unfortunately, we're going to have to go off to break, and you can hold that thought, please, Dr. Lester.
Okay.
I like that, Dr. Lester, because it's like a silence of the silence of the Dr. Lester. All right, here we go. We're coming off to break. We'll be right back at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by TheVinnyEastwoodShow.com. Feeling stressed, tired, lacking energy, or lacking libido? Now you can take control of your healthcare goals in the privacy of your own home with the use of reliable, high-quality health products from Ideal Health in New Zealand, conveniently delivered to your door anywhere in the world. You'll find our friendly health team offer well-researched health information plus the highest quality health products. We want to ensure you not only get the best value products available, but also ensure you get the fastest therapeutic results. With over 2,600 pages of health information and natural products, all compiled by our friendly naturopathic team. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Warning. Warning. American. Warning. American Freedom Radio is habit forming. American Freedom Radio is habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Truth Brigade Radio, live Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. Only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The truth has just gotten hotter.
Anger to a place that ain't gonna get up in your face. The facts we all give, but the system fails. We got to change the way we see the problem if we're gonna fix this place. My living soul don't care about the color of your face.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about prohibiting things that are good for you. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Sponsored in part by CIA drug money that is shipped in under Operation Paperclip. I just love government corruption. It gives me so much material because you can never run out of it, basically. I was going to say that... wastefulness is a government's only efficiency, especially when you're wasting the lives of your citizenry away in privately owned jails that you gave away that are twice as expensive to run as publicly owned jails, and they're doing it for the private profit of the corporations rather than the actual use to the community, which is the whole thing. Because when we talk about any kind of unjustifiable law, there's two things you've got to figure out. Number one, just how unjustifiable it is and the evidence why it's not. Number two, just what would a psychopathic mind actually be doing it for? That's what you really have to think about when you think about government legislation that looks really nasty. How would a psycho feel about this? Psycho thinks, you know what? I don't like it how people actually have free will and the rights to do what they want and that kind of thing. I don't like it how they can choose to go anywhere. I want to have dictatorial control over all of their actions. What would give me a perfect excuse to lock them up in jail that they'll all wind up doing and make a lot of money off it? I've got a brilliant idea. I'll make a benign substance that everybody uses illegal. That way the price will be jacked right up and we can instantly justify searching everybody and taking all their freedoms off them. Brilliant! That's what I'm talking about. Now, speaking of which, we got cut off on the break earlier, and we were talking about how when you're using marijuana and you're using the same strain consistently, you build up an immunity to it, and instantly you can just switch the strain, and there's no immunity to that strain, only the one that you were previously smoking. And Lester actually, in fact, has an anecdote about this. So go ahead, mate.
Well, first of all, I wouldn't say you build up an immunity, but you build up a tolerance, I think is a better word for that strain, which since strains have different amounts of THC, of cannabidiol, of terpene, of all the things that are in it, you're much more likely to be able to... but I would say if anybody is got to the point where he can't get the high or what he wants out of the substance he's smoking, then he's probably smoking too much. But that's my view on it. Now, what I was talking about before was this business of it's being something that can enhance people's capacities. Carl Sagan found that it was useful for his writing. You know, he wrote many wonderful books, and the television Cosmos, which if you haven't seen, you're missing something. I remember once he was in town, and we were together, and I had just received a little gift of the first Simsimia that was available in California, I think, and someone sent me a few joints of it. And we went in to meet the Sagans for dinner at their hotel, and we had a smoke of this stuff, and it's something neither one of us had ever smoked before, and it was really wonderful stuff. And as we left, he said to me, "Lester, I see you have another joint in your holder there. Could I ask you to give me that? I have to finish the last chapter of whatever book he was doing then tomorrow, and I think that would be so helpful to me. Is it possible?" Well, of course, I gave it to him. but that is what, you know, and if you read his essay on marijuana hyphen uses, he will tell you about that, how he'll be in the shower high, and he'll get... the idea of some Gaussian formulas that he wants to remember, and he'll jot it down on the shower wall until he can get out and get dry and get it down on a piece of paper so he'll remember it the next day. It is very useful this way, but again, I think one has to be, you can make these claims if you limit the amount you use. I was wrong in Marijuana Reconsidered and saying there was a little tolerance to it. It's still correct if you switch to another strain to some extent, but the best way to get the full potential, to realize the full potential, is to smoke it not as frequently as every day. This, I think, is generally appreciated, but some people find even getting a little bit out of it every day is better than they like it that way. So to each
but in general,
own, and either event, it isn't going to hurt them.
But yeah, you are. In general, it's like what you'd wait 2 or 3 days in between smokes, and you'd retain some description of potency, and wouldn't develop that higher tolerance. You know, if you're buying for yourself, would save you a lot of money.
Yeah, that's true. But for people for whom money doesn't matter, I think the important thing is they get more out of it by cutting down a bit.
Yeah, it's like, isn't that ironic? You know, bro, if you want to get way more wasted, cut down a bit. I mean, name me another drug that has that effect, you know.
Yeah, right.
The ironies, they are aplenty when it comes to cannabis prohibition. My feeling is that basically the drug money is the main motivation on the government side. You know, government runs so many scams that it's just unbelievable. I mean, in my opinion, scams wouldn't exist without government aid, basically. You know, CIA's been caught smuggling cocaine and heroin into the United States. They import most of it. Right? They had people like Rick Ross and all of that slanging their stuff out in L.A. and laundering all the money through the New York Stock Exchange. Because, incidentally, if you have a company that is listed on the New York Stock Exchange, you don't have to explain where your money comes from. You know, if you put like 10 grand in a bank or something like that, you have to fill out this little form explaining where the money comes from. You don't have to do that if you're listed on the NYSE. So they, the massive companies like corporations like Coca-Cola, Pepsi, have been caught and admitted that they're laundering millions and millions of dollars worth of drug money. Allegedly, half a billion worth of drug money is cycled through the New York Stock Exchange each year, just in liquid cash. It's supporting the entire economy, which is incidentally why virtually every single CIA director was a banker or a lawyer on Wall Street. That is one of the real interesting parts about Prohibition. That's the higher brow stuff. The science is all basically settled as far as I see. It's just you've currently got a status quo that needs to be overridden. And there are many status quos, even within the cannabis debate itself, that need to be overridden. And it'll only be accomplished, in my opinion, through the propagandistic type practice of repetition. You've got to repeat this endlessly, over and over again, until people get it, because it's the truth. It's unfortunate that such a mechanism has to be used in order to get the truth out. But people have been programmed, dumbed down to a large extent so that they will not recognize the truth even if it's put in their face a few times. How do you feel about that?
Well, I'm not equipped to comment on some of the things I just don't know about that. But I am, you know, for in 1971, when I published Marijuana Reconsidered, I predicted that it would be, the prohibition would be gone in 10 years. And here it is, 40 years later, and we still have that prohibition. And the only thing that's changing it is people's direct experience, or I shouldn't say the only thing, but the most important thing is people's own experience in either using it or seeing usually patients who use it and, you know, being able to correct their view of that reality. This is not a drug which demands this kind, any kind of prohibition. This is not a drug which demands a drug war.
It's not a drug that facilitates demands at all, really. I mean, people demand the drug, but the drug doesn't demand anything. It just provides it.
Yeah, in that way it is. But it is a drug that does. I mean, there are a lot of people who grow it who are making a lot of money. But I think part of the reason they make so much money is the prohibition. Because growers who have been quite honest with me say that you could grow a very good quality, medical quality, I mean the highest quality marijuana, for maybe $25 an ounce if it was done on an economy of scale. Well, nowadays, you pay maybe $400 or $500 for an ounce of that kind of quality marijuana. So there is the demand, and that's why these people can make quite a bit of money.
In fact, that's an interesting point that I brought up with yesterday. You know how the prices are all inflating with everything? Like gas is getting higher and gold's getting higher and so on and so forth. Commodities, right? It's not because those commodities are actually getting more expensive or more scarce per se. It's because the currency's being devalued and the money's getting inflated and becoming worth less and less and less. But marijuana stays the same price, doesn't it? It's inflation-proof. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, just about. And the thing that's holding it up as high as it is the prohibition.
So here's a way to save the economy. Legalize marijuana. That way people will have a lot of weed money left over to pay for their amenities.
But if you regulate it, you can tax it. You know, at one time, long before the Volstead Act was introduced in 1920, the American government got 70% of its budget through taxes on alcohol. This is a source, and you know, people would be willing to pay a good sized tax on marijuana, what it really costs plus the tax. It wouldn't be near what they're paying now, and the government could realize a lot more, a lot of revenue.
But again, they don't do it because the government is the ones generating the revenue from all of this prohibition, right? The DEA, it's spending our money.
That's all taxpayer money. It's spending our money to do that.
You see, and it's the insanity of it. And people always go, oh, well, why would they do that? I just don't understand it. And again, it's because you're not a psycho, okay? That's why you don't get it. Because you're a good, decent person that has a heart beating in your chest and you feel guilty if you do bad things to people. That's called having empathy. That means you're not a psycho, okay? Unfortunately, that is the case of it. 4% of the population officially clinically diagnosable psychopaths, and they're all clustered right up at the top where they're implementing policies. Now, they're passing these policies down, not to psychos, but to bureaucrats. Bureaucrats whose job is not to question, but to facilitate. Somebody gives you an idea to promote, and it's your job to promote, and you're getting paid to promote, that's what you do. If it's your job to question, your job to disseminate questioning information, then that's precisely what you'll do. I feel that the whole process of having a job at all, meaning somebody else defines precisely what you can and cannot do with your own time, essentially, is absolutely horrific. in most of the ways, because it prevents that kind of whole freedom of choice, you know, free will thing. Oh, sorry, a picture the yesterday, Lester, of a New York City Police Department officer standing next to a protester doing the peace sign, and the protester was holding up a sign that says, "When the power of love overcomes the love of power, the world will know peace." And it was Jimi Hendrix that said that. Really? All right, yeah, so we've got the real. We've got real good people on the ground. They, as soon as they find out that what they're doing is actually wrong, they stop doing it to a large extent. I mean, what was his name? Barry Cooper, okay? Virtually the number one cannabis arrest record in the entirety of Texas's history, okay? This guy won awards, hardcore. He gets told by one cannabis user that cannabis has never killed a single person in the 10,000 years of its recorded use, and then he started researching, and now he teaches people all the tactics that the police use, all the lies, all the misinformation, and all of the things that they used to get so many convictions of cannabis users. This is what you can do when you say one thing to one real good person. You can spur them on. Never underestimate the power of your words, the power of your interactions, or the power of you individually. If you think that one person can't make a difference, if you're too small to make enough noise, lock yourself in a room with a mosquito, and that'll show you difference. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. We'll be right back.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Following a radiological or nuclear event, radioactive iodine may be released into the air and then be breathed into the lungs. Radioactive iodine may also contaminate the local food supply and get into the body through food or through drink. When radioactive materials get into the body through breathing, eating or drinking, the thyroid gland quickly absorbs the chemical. Radioactive iodine absorbed by the thyroid can then injure the gland. But you can protect yourself with use potassium iodide, which acts to block radioactive iodine from being taken into the thyroid gland and can help protect this gland from injury. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Yo, what's up? Check this out.
The voice of the revolution. American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Listen to Time for Hemp, hosted by Casper Leach. Afternoons, Monday through Friday, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Central. Only on American Freedom Radio.
I stand alone against your mad, deadly, worldwide, conspiratorial, gangster, computer god communism with wall-to-wall, deadly gangster protection, lifelong sworn conspirators, murder incorporated organized crime, the police and judges, the deadly, Zeke-parroting puppet gangsters using all the gangster deadly Frankenstein control, these hangman rope sneak deadly gangsters, the judges and the police trick, trap, rob, wreck, butcher, and murder the people to keep them terrorized in gangster Frankenstein earphone radio slavery for the communist gangster government and con artist parroting puppet gangster playboy scum on.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about the parroting puppet gangster scum on top. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on freedomradio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Check out the articles and the archives at American Freedom Radio and also guerrillamedia.co.nz. That's G-U-E-R-I-L-L-A media.co.nz. And we've got an awful lot of articles on that website there that have been posted over the years. So it comes down to the point where if you want to know anything about any subject, pretty much, that has some description of scumbaggery associated with it, any kind of conspiracy, any kind of prohibition, really, you can wind up searching Guerrilla Media and you'll come up with a huge list of articles, all of them different, about the same topic, and it'll allow you to gain a formal understanding, a very good, wide-based spectrum of analysis from many, many different sources, mainstream, alternative, and things that just basically can't be proven but are still interesting nonetheless. Get yourself informed about things. You never need to assume that you know everything. In fact, I do the direct opposite. I assume everything that I know is in fact wrong. And I simply have not had the evidence produced yet to prove myself wrong. So in the meantime, I'm still going to keep postulating away until I encounter somebody who tells me that I'm wrong, then listen to their evidence, and if they don't have enough to disprove what I've already seen, then I'm not wrong still. But I'm really grateful when I am proven wrong, because it means I have the opportunity to learn something instead of postulating endlessly. Which I think is a very healthy way to think about it, frankly. But you never know. My very special guest, Lester Grinspoon, for the last segment here. And we want to talk about a concept that was discussed here in New Zealand a while back called prohibition rage. And this is interesting. This is the postulation, at least, that when you're in a very unaccepting environment, if you're using cannabis, say, at home, and nobody else there supports you at all, you know, like everybody's just kind of like, oh, you're an idiot stoner, and you just need to get out of the house and get your life together, and you're wasting yourself, your brain's rotting away, you know. If you basically are in an environment where you're suffering psychological abuse, direct psychological abuse from all the people around you, it turns you into a very antisocial and, it appears to be some sort of mental condition. And it's been called prohibition rage. Now, Lester doesn't agree that per se that there's exactly such a thing as this, but then again, my perspective is that because there's no blood test that you can prove the existence of any mental disorder as yet, that they pretty much all made up, like the Diagnostic Statistical Manual, the DSM, which has like, 700 disorders or something in them. The reason why they get put into that Diagnostic Statistical Manual is because they have a panel of psychiatrists all in a circle, some of them with between 1 and 14 connections to pharmaceutical companies, and they vote via show of hands, listing symptoms and then quantifying it as a mental disorder, and then adding it to the manual to teach further generations of psychiatrists what to look out for if they encounter these symptoms. Now, it may strike you as strange, but that's not actually a scientific way to go about it, because you need to be able to replicate things, you know, like placebo tests and things like that. When psychiatric drugs come out, they, for the bulk of it, the placebos cure more people, or help more people, should I say, than the approved pharmaceutical drugs do. But they still get approved anyway, and they still get marketed anyway, based upon a very few amounts of symptoms of people coming into a psychiatrist's office. And often, the warning labels are much longer than the benefits of said psychiatric drug. You know, it's one of those real freaky things that really kind of eggs me on about the major pharmaceutical drug companies, is that essentially, while the government completely and utterly rejects any possibility of medicinal cannabis, they are more than happy to open up the doors permanently to any form of psychiatric drug which the big pharma companies can come up with next, with a list of side effects longer than the list of benefits. Supposed, alleged benefits, mind you. And the third stage of trials is basically trialing on the public. You know, you become a guinea pig. It's real sad. Here in New Zealand, you can get up to 120, 140 grand for prescribing specific drugs or chemotherapy or things like that. When you're a public doctor, you get the kickbacks, commissions for each and every approved drug that you market to your patients. It's a very sad state of affairs, and it's only been allowed to continue, in my opinion, because people have consistently trusted doctors and their expertise, and in turn the doctors have trusted the expertise of the people that are teaching them. So it's kind of like Mark Twain said, third party information is usually come up with by somebody who doesn't know what they're talking about, repeated by somebody who wasn't listening properly, and then carried on by people whose opinions aren't worth a brass farthing anyway. You know, the one-step, two-step, three-step brainwashing regime. And it happens all the way across many, many industries, and it requires a degree of not necessarily intelligence, but a degree of moral ethic to kind of wake up to it and say, hold on a second, everything's kind of going a little bit awry, and I don't like seeing what it does. And that's, in my opinion, why a lot of medical professionals kind of wake up to the way that your country is really being run, and try to do something a little different, because they have a crisis of conscience, basically, which is a freaking awesome thing. Another person who's experienced a crisis of conscience and started to change precisely what he did in his life is Lester Grinspoon, my guest. Welcome back.
Thank you. And Vincent, I must say, I'm glad we're talking about cannabis, because if we were to discuss what you've uttered since the break, I would have to take issue with you with almost every sentence. So let's get back to cannabis.
Yeah, well, if you want to take issue, you know,
I came on here to discuss cannabis, but I don't want you to I don't want anybody to think that I would agree with what you've been saying since you got back from break. Any part of it, I do not.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. Now, there's the other element on it earlier on, which was Rick Simpson has talking about curing cancer and all of that kind of stuff. I presume you've seen the documentary.
I was asked to participate in one of the documentaries. I refuse, and I wrote a paper called A Note of Warning. A note of caution, which anybody who's interested can find on the RX Marijuana website under publications, because I think that what Rick Simpson is doing is dangerous, and I'll tell you why. You know, it's overselling marijuana, and I don't mind it's being oversold in conditions that are not mortal. But people will, I've had experience, I worked for the National Cancer Institute for several years, and I know something about this. People, if you tell them there's an easy cure, they will avoid allopathic medicine and go for the easy cure, most often with disastrous results. Now, it doesn't mean that it isn't useful in cancer. I mentioned earlier in the programs all the ways it is for the various for the consequences of the chemotherapy and for symptoms, some of the symptoms of many cancers. But it does not cure cancer. And Rick Simpson is a man with a ninth grade education who presumes to know enough about cancer, which is an enormously, it isn't just one cancer, there are so many of them, all of them are different, presumes to know so much about it that he can say to people, take my hemp oil and it will cure your cancer. This is, it's exceedingly naive, and it does have the potential for great harmfulness.
Well, see, the other side of the argument is general allopathic medicine, such as chemotherapy, officially, according to the New Zealand Ministry of Health, has a 95% kill rate.
No, the 5%
survival rate is subject to the New Zealand Ministry of Health conditionality of the clarification of a cure definition is that a patient will live 5 years or more, and it's officially listed as a cure, even though they die 5 years and 1 day later, kind of thing. So
I doubt that very much. Now, there's no question that cancer chemotherapeutics have an exceedingly low therapeutic ratio, and you've got to be very careful how you use them. But to say that 95% of people die from them, this is absurd.
That's the official records, unfortunately, and also the official records show that the Ministry of Health here in New Zealand is the third leading cause of death, and it's very similar in the United States, I believe.
Well,
you'll have to research into these things, Lester, because I assure you, I'm not just talking out of my ass here. Anyway, thank you very much for joining us for the full 2 hours today. It's been an immaculate interview, and we definitely want to have you on again sometime. So, ladies and gentlemen, check them out at rxmarijuana.com and marijuana-uses.com. And we'll see you again sometime.